everyone. Welcome back to the Relay Bitcoin podcast. Today I have a very special guest, Martin from the BTC Prague conference. But before we start talking, I need to resolve a story that Martin, I don't know if you have heard about it or not on Twitter, but people who have listened to and watched this podcast on YouTube actually complained that I have a stupid picture behind me, which was, and namely Imo, our CMO, also asked me to change the picture because it had nothing to do with Bitcoin and it looked like a cheap world map. Actually, it was not a cheap picture. It was an artist that did it, and it was quite expensive, but it seemed to look like a very cheap map behind me. So I was looking for a new image or picture behind me on the wall on Twitter, and I did, you know, check out a lot of stuff, and now I have found a very nice picture, which is now behind me.
Cool.
Which is a Bitcoin-related street artwork from an artist in Silicon Valley. And it took her quite some time to do it, and then she sent it, and then it got stuck somewhere in the post. I think it ended up in Latvia, and then it was broken, and then it had to be sent back. So until it was actually, and then she had to do a new one, until this was here, it took like a couple of weeks, or even 2-3 months, I think, in the end. But now it's here, and I really like it, I really love it. But the problem is, if I sit here like this, it looks like I'm a little king or a little saint.
Yeah, Saint Julian. Yeah,
Saint like Bitcoin King Julian. No, I'm just joking. But I think I need to reposition it a little bit. So maybe you can help me with that real quick. Because I want to see, like, I want the Bitcoin sign to be visible, right? So maybe if I just put it a little bit to your right, my left,
or the opposite. Yeah, it actually doesn't really matter, but still, yeah. Okay.
So that's just a little bit. Would that be better?
That's better. It works now.
Yeah.
You're not saying anymore, and okay. it's recognizable that it's a Bitcoin art. So yeah.
Saint. Okay, good. Let's stop the joking and start with your introduction, Martin. Thank you very much for taking the time, and thanks for organizing BTC Prague, which will be, I think, the biggest and most exciting Bitcoin only conference in Europe this year. It's going to happen beginning of June, and I'm really excited to be part of it as a speaker and as a jury member in the startup contest that you've also just announced. So thank you very much for inviting me there. But please tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got to organize this amazing conference.
Well, yeah, thank you for the introduction, Julian. It's a pleasure to be here and even to have you on board on BTC Prague as a speaker and jury member, as you've already mentioned. So just very briefly about my history and how I ended up with the Bitcoin and with the conference organizing. Actually, for almost all of my life, I was interested in computers. Almost after a few years, I was born in the 80s. And, you know, technology, physics, the universe and all the relevant things. And still, I studied the architecture on the university, but I quit it and switched to IT. And work on many projects, more like from the project management position, business development in e-commerce and web development. And thanks to that, I visited so many different events and conferences in the Europe. So I learned a lot what is it actually about to organize an event and what are the requirements. And finally, you know, in the year of 2017, a few friends of mine and mostly my wife told me about some strange Bitcoin and that it might be a thing worth of considering. So I jumped into it, and the learning curve was actually pretty standard. You know, I've invested in shitcoins and other projects. That was the season of ICOs. And so I lost a lot of my investment. So bought a Bitcoin again and learned that it is actually the only one I should be interested in, as Michael says, there's no second best. So that's what I've learned as well. And, you know, I I love meeting people and networking and traveling. So I visited so many different Bitcoin conferences during the last years. And, in 2018, we've actually realized that there's no real Bitcoin conference in Czech Republic. And so we decided that hey, let's give it a try. So we've organized one, but then there was a COVID situation starting from 2019, and it lasted for a few years. But we were actually super lucky that we were able to organize the conference during those hard years. And it allowed us to grow a lot. So it ended up to be, it's called ChainCamp. It's like Czech only, Bitcoin only conference organized by us for 4 years already. The last one was in September and we got 2,000 visitors there on Czech only, Bitcoin only conference. So afterwards, we realized that it was one of the, the biggest non-English speaking conferences in the world. But still, it's more like Czech Bitcoiners gathering than the real conference. It's a fun and people need to enjoy that. That's our mission mostly. But it was for us like the proof of work that conferences are something we shall be interested in and that we are capable of organizing something like this. But still, the BTC Prague gonna be a completely different animal in completely different scale, actually.
Where is this ambition coming from? Because at the beginning, when you contacted us, you said this is going to be the biggest Bitcoin conference in Europe. And like others have already made similar statements, for example, the Bitcoin magazine, one BTC conference in Miami, for example, they claim to be the biggest in the world. And they also came as of last year. Since last year, they are also coming to Amsterdam. And this year, again, they will be in Amsterdam, I think, in September, October.
In October, I suppose, yeah.
And they claim also to be the biggest ones in Europe. And then there's BTC Innsbruck, which is a very nice conference, and they claim to be the biggest German-speaking one in Innsbruck. So there are already quite a lot of them. Like, why? Where is this ambition coming from? Why do you want to create the biggest European Bitcoin conference, and how do you differentiate, maybe even if even necessary, to the others?
Oh yeah, actually the story starts like many years ago. So, and it's tightly. It just fits into the Czech's nationality and what we think that we are here. So maybe let me tell you a bit about the Czech history. And the thing is that, we as a Czechs, we are actually a small nation of 10 million people. And what is common for the small nations is that they do not usually think of ourselves or themselves being really important in the world, But little known fact is that there is an industry of the future in which Czechs actually always made a dent in the world, or two or three, maybe even more. And it's not only about the Pilsner beer style, which is good, but still we have more. And I'm talking about the Bitcoin, in which Czechs have always been leading the industry from the very beginning. And we've been able to shape the future of financial freedom. And this is the reason, because not only most of the Czechs, but I suppose that most of the listeners don't actually know that the Czech Republic is actually the real Bitcoin wally of the world. And we can call ourselves being a cradle of the Bitcoin, because the first ever Bitcoin mining pool was launched in 2010, I'm sorry, by Brains. It was called Slashpool back then. The first ever hardware wallet originated from Czech Republic as well. The Trezor wallet, founded in 2012. The BIP39, the standard which is used by almost all hardware wallets, origin from Prague, the largest Bitcoin ATM manufacturer, General Bytes, the first ever open source, transparent, secure chip, Tropic Square, and other interesting and important Bitcoin things. Origin from Czech Republic. And we just decided that, we might put another milestone into this Czech Bitcoin history. And this is the BTC Prague. And for us, it was actually no other way how to do it than just call ourselves to be the biggest Bitcoin conference, and even in the Europe. And that's why we started to work on it. So yeah, I suppose that this will be the ultimate European most influential Bitcoin even only ever still. And what's important, and I want to want to mention is that the events you've mentioned already, the Innsbruck Conference, or for example, the Honey Badger, and many, many others, Hackers Congress in Prague, they are simply amazing. And I'm just not trying to compete them. We are just trying to set the new level, a new standard, and new conference in the space to help the Bitcoin grow and to allow Czechs to feel that we are some important, at least for some other reasons than the peer is in the space.
Hey everyone, this is Anna from Relay. I want to tell you about Relay Private. It's our exclusive service for private clients, family offices, and small or medium-sized companies looking to buy or sell large amounts of Bitcoin. As a Relay Private client, you have a full team focusing on your needs. A dedicated account manager guides you every step of the way. You also get personalized 24/7 support and gain access to exclusive reports and industry insights created by Relay. If that sounds like something you or somebody you know should check out, click the link in the description or head over to relay.app/private.
Interesting. I didn't know any of that. I knew that Trezor was one of the first hardware wallets and that it was founded in Czech Republic. But of all the other stuff that you mentioned, that's super interesting. I didn't know. Like, why do you think that? Do you think Satoshi was living in Prague?
I would love to know.
Why is Czech Republic such a pioneer in the Bitcoin industry?
I believe that it's tied with our history. Mostly because of the communism era, when actually there was nothing in the markets, so we were actually forced to produce everything which we found like important for our lives, just to create it by ourselves. So we are like do-it-yours lovers, and maybe that explains a lot. That as soon as we realized that we shall need a hardware wallet for our Bitcoin holding stack. And there was none, so we created it. You know, that's actually the history of Czechs, that we love it.
Interesting. That's so cool. I'm really looking forward to the conference. What have you done, or how have you approached organizing it so that it becomes the biggest one? I mean, it's hard to be bigger than BTC Magazine's Amsterdam conference, because they have so much money behind them. They do it for a couple of years already. They have a big team, and they have like the network just to invite great people like Jeff Booth, Natalie Brunel was there, Greg Foss was there, and all these, you know, very famous people, Matt O'Dell, Giacomo Zucco, all these guys were kind of from the whole world. They traveled to Amsterdam, and that's why I think that was one reason why it was such a success. How do you approach that?
That's actually a good question. It starts again with the chain camp, that we already had an experience and we knew how to contact the speakers and the partners and the sponsors. And we already had a few of them on board, actually, thanks to the chain camp again. And we already had a team of the marketers, PR guys, web developers, designers. So this is something we've already had. So it was a bit easier for us. So we haven't been starting from the very scratch. And basically, we are working on it for actually 1.5 years now, fully. In the team of 10 persons. So it was mostly the matter of the time. It's just a matter of the trying, pushing, and trying again. And we are not actually really shy guys. So we just challenged all the speakers and the partners to spend some time with us on a call. And we just explained them what we are trying to achieve here in the Europe. And it is actually important for the Bitcoin and for the Europe, which is actually, and we can talk about the Europe later, because it's a huge topic. But yeah, we just tried to ping a few of them, and it happened to be much easier than we supposed that it's gonna be in the very beginning, because all of the companies who origin from Europe, they simply need a visibility, because Bitcoin is from our bubble, which we are so deeply dived in with you, Julian. It might look like that Bitcoin is everywhere, but from the retail perspective, it's still more like nothing, you know, I would say. So the companies were happy that we are like bringing 7,000 no coiners and pre coiners, how we call them, to one place, and that we gonna explain them what the Bitcoin is, and they would be able to show them the products and the services which they already have. So mostly it was a no-brainer from the very helicopter perspective. But still, yeah, so we tried, pushed, and we were lucky as well.
So what kind of sponsors or companies will be involved, and what kind of like notable speakers or influencers will be there from the Bitcoin industry?
Yeah, so maybe let me start with the speakers. Actually, we are trying to mix it to have like the representatives of all different topics that Bitcoin is addressing. It's not only about the monetary ones. So there are gonna be a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of OGs of the OGs, actually, CEOs of the Bitcoin companies, influencers, philosophers, developers, MCs, freedom fighters, etc. So for example, for the entrepreneurs, of course, a Michael Saylor, and this is gonna be his first physical visit of the BTC conference in Europe, actually.
Wow. That's well
thank
done.
You, thank you. It was a challenge, honestly, but yeah, he's so cool guy. And Eric Weiss, which is commonly known as a person who orange pill, Michael Saylor. For example, from the OG researchers, of course, Adam Beck, co-founders of the Trezor, Stick and Slash, Jameson Loeb, mm-hmm. Giacomo Zucco, Obin Vosu. From the authors, for example, Alex Svetsky, Knut Svanholm, Cypher Dynamos, or the influences Roman Rare, the block trainer, Lunatic Coin from Spain, Ricky from Italia, Roxy, many others from developers, Peter Todd, Abu Bakar, actually the top tier Bitcoin Core developers, team members from the BTC Pay Server, Blockstream, Satoshi Labs, again, Mempool, even from Tor from USA. And freedom fighters, Fadi Al-Slamen, Roya Mahbu, Anita Posh, Ludmila Kozlovska, and actually many, many others. Freedom lovers, liberty lovers. Yeah, the mix is hopefully going to be real complete.
Wow, that's going to be... That's going to be a great mix. It's going to be fun. I'm really already super excited to be there as well.
Thank you.
Meet all these great people.
Thank you. I'm excited as well. For me, actually, it's really hard to realize all the names because we have almost 100 speakers, and it's hard to just to pick the name I shall mention. But I believe that I've covered the most of them. Yeah.
On over how many days will this be? Will it Thursday to Friday? Thursday to Sunday? 4 days.
3 days. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's
all
3 days long.
And then there will be a big party on Saturday as well?
That's actually a tricky one. We do not have time to organize like the party for everyone because that would end up like being big music festival, you know? We are still talking about 10,000 visitors. So we've decided that we as organizers will take care of the party for the speakers, partners, and the whales. And the other parties are more like decentralized, and a lot of friends of us who we know from the Czech Bitcoin space are throwing different kind and different types of more or less formal Bitcoin parties during the whole week. And we are announcing them on our landing page called like site events. So, there will be like beer gathering, real parties in the clubs, more like Socratic seminars in different places, all of different kind of the events, but it will be more like real Bitcoiners week in the Prague from many perspectives. So if you are looking for for some lectures or lesson to be learned, you're gonna feel comfortable. So as if you are looking for the real party and a lot of Czech beer, which is actually good.
I can imagine. Yeah, I was in Prague like must be 12 years ago or something, and I remember the beer was very good, but that's pretty much all I remember from that trip.
You remember the places you visited back then?
People they know how to party.
I was just asking if you remember any places you've visited back then.
Honestly, it's too long ago, and I was like, I think 17, 18.
Okay, that explains a lot, yeah.
it explains a lot. We were just there with some friends, and we were just basically drinking and partying for 3-4 days and then going home. So I really don't remember any place. I remember the beer was very good. I remember the food was also quite nice. A lot of meat.
Exactly, yeah.
But that was good. And like the clubs, the nightclubs, that there was this 4 or 5 level nightclub that we used to visit, that they had an ice bar and stuff like that. So these are the things that I remember.
It's still there, it's still there.
Relevant.
Really? It's Carlo Velasi, I suppose, or kind of. Honestly, I'm not the big fan of such a fancy clubs, you know. I'm more like into sitting in some calmer place with ambient music and talking with the people. But it can end up in different ways.
Yeah, but I think that's a really cool concept with these side events of different size, different directions. Miami did the same thing when I was in Miami last year or the year before. I don't remember. They did a similar concept where, for example, there was a Swan Bitcoin party, there was a Lightning Ventures party, you know, it was kind of different side events organized by different Bitcoiners and different Bitcoin businesses, very diverse. So there was something for everyone, whether you want to get fucked up with vodka or whether you want to have a cup of tea and talk about books, you could do it. So I think that's a very, very smart.
And then Miami vibe actually pays for itself. So it was really enjoyable. I was there last year and I enjoyed it a lot, actually.
Right. I think we didn't know each other yet back then. But what I also really like is the retail approach. So it's really not another Bitcoin conferences for the Bitcoiners, where basically Bitcoiners preach to Bitcoiners, and it just stays within our community. But it's really also going out to talk to people and attract people that are not into Bitcoin yet. Basically, the 90% of the people that are not into Bitcoin yet. And so you have a very low entry burden, right? So people from $10 already, I think, they can get a ticket and they can get access to the retail zone, where I think also my speech will be, which I'm really looking forward to speak exactly to these people. So maybe tell us a little bit more about the concept of the different levels and how you want to attract as many retail or like just normal people from the street as possible.
Oh yeah, sure. You are well prepared, Julian. The thing is that, and that's what we've learned on the Bitcoin conferences while traveling during last year, and is that, you know, everybody is speaking about the importance of adoption, which is actually super important. But on other hand, you know, usually the organizers set the base price for the ticket for, let's say, 2, 3, 4 or even more hundreds of dollars, which is usually a no-go for the retailer or for the no-coiner who's still considering if this is something he should be interested in. The barrier is simply too high for him. So we are trying to change this perspective, setting the base price for the ticket for only €9, which gonna open you the expo section with simply the area with 100 booths of Bitcoin-related companies with their products and services. And as we believe, this will simply explain to the public space that the Bitcoin is a real thing, you know, that it's a whole ecosystem of the products and the services and all the belongings which actually any industry needs. So, you know, it is not any nerdy Bitcoin talk forum topic anymore, you know, we are much further now, but still, the public space doesn't actually realize that we are already so far on that Bitcoin journey. So this will, as we believe, give them a reason to really worth the way, come to the venue. The price is super doable for everyone, and they will be able to meet and try the products they already maybe heard about on the internet, or on the Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and understand what actually Bitcoin is really about. And all the companies who's gonna be there are ready for such visitors, so they will explain them what the Bitcoin basics actually are. And at the end of the day, we really believe that this is the approach which will help the adoption a lot and let the Bitcoin grow in the Czech Republic again, as I mentioned, because we want that Bitcoin wallet to be as big as possible.
Absolutely. I think this is really great, and a lot of other conferences should do similar stuff, because, you know, just paying $300 to $500 is not something that you do for a topic that you're not into yet. I mean, Bitcoiners do it, but maybe retailers, normal people on the street that just want to learn about it, yes, they spend $10, but they would never spend more than $100. So I think that's great. Other conferences should adopt it. What other ticket kind of price levels are there, and what is the benefit if you buy a ticket that costs a bit more?
Of course, we have a different tiers, and those are more expensive, and they simply followed like the Bitcoin conferences standards. So if you are already an advanced Bitcoiner and you want to listen and see all of the names and the speakers I've mentioned before, you shall buy a conference ticket, which opens you a main stage with almost 3,000 seats. It's really huge, and where all those great names gonna be and have their talks, keynotes, or be part of the panel discussions with different topics. And if you are more like into the Bitcoin business already, so you are looking for the B2B environment, calm places, ready for the networking. So if you are looking for something like this, we have an industry ticket, which is same like the conference one, but it opens you the whole venue on the first day, on Thursday, which is industry day. Simply the venue is not gonna be so crowded, but already all the business owners and the Bitcoiners with their booths in the expo section gonna be there. So it's a great opportunity to come and meet and network and do the business with the relevance from the Bitcoin space already. And of course, whale ticket for the real whales who want to meet those speakers and our guests and owners of the businesses in person, and more like be able to hide from the crowds in the venue in a very cozy whale section, which is going to be part of the whole conference.
That's such a fun concept, this whole whale ticket thing. This is part of every Bitcoin conference as well. I've never made it to a whale ticket, but like, are there many people that are actually buying these tickets, or are you giving away
it's like these as well? 50-50, I would say, you know. It really depends. For me, honestly, the whale ticket is absolutely worth it, because I'm looking for the place where I can meet the speakers and the partners and friends. And it's much easier to find a place where we can have a seat for 10 or 15 minutes, have a good drink or a meal, and talk about anything we might need to. But the prices are usually expensive. So it's a matter of the right picking and if it's just a fit. So I cannot really say by myself. For me, it's worth it, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be worth it for sure. I mean, you get also access to the VIP area and all that kind of stuff. So I think depending on what you are after at this conference, it can really be a great thing.
And it's enjoyable, you know, to be able to sit with Adam Beck or Michael Saylor or anyone from Blockstream or whatever, and talk with them without the distraction around, and it always ends up with that I've, you know, always learn a lot of such a talk with such amazing people.
Right. Is Jack Dorsey coming?
That's a tricky one, man. We are pushing as much as we can, but still now I need to say that no, but I'm doing my best to change it, you know. That's a tricky one.
Try to get in touch with him via Noster. I think there he is quite responsive. And also this other conference, I think Indonesia or somewhere, this Indonesian Bitcoin conference, they just texted him on Noster randomly, and he got back to them saying, yeah, sure, I'm coming.
That's great, man.
But there, maybe it's because they have great waves. I mean, Bali has great waves, and he has never been there, and he likes to surf. And so that's maybe why he goes there. But try to connect to him via Noster, and maybe also, and we can talk about this offline. Maybe I have two or three links that I can.
Oh, that's going to be great. Actually, we one of the side events going to be a Noster meetup, organized by Walker from the Crypto Couple and Avibura, other friend of us. Mm-hmm. And so we are doing as much as we can to make that happen. And that would be great, yeah.
Awesome. And talk a little bit about the startup competition as well. You just launched it, I think, early this week. And I'm very honored to be part of the jury, even though I was basically applying to be on the other side,
right?
To be one of the startups pitching. But then you said, look, this is probably more for early stage startup. Why don't you come into the jury? So I'm very happy to share the jury with Mike Charmutz from Lightning Ventures and a lot of other great Bitcoin entrepreneurs and investors. So maybe talk a little bit about what the idea behind this startup contest is.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm glad that you're going to be part of it, Julian. The thing is that we've realized that there are so many companies in the Bitcoin space, which we consider being really interesting. And again, I think that the Bitcoin is really early. You know, we need to work really hard to make it accessible for the masses, because, for example, my parents, they won't be able to, or actually they would be able, but the learning curve gonna be really long to what the installment of the hardware wallet is, what the seed means, how they should protect it, what the transaction means, what the mempool is, you know. So from the mass adoption of the Bitcoin, we still need to work hard. And that's the reason why I was actually set, why we were in touch with so many different kind of companies from the Bitcoin space. And when they just told us that, hey guys, we would love to be part of the BTC Prague, but we are in an early stage, and we even cannot afford the price of the flight tickets and getting ourselves accommodated in the Prague. The overhead is big of all this stuff. So we just thought for ourselves that, okay, let's create a space where such a project can present themselves and benefit from it from many different perspectives. It's about visibility, about the reach to the Mike Jarmusz or Oleg Michalski and you as a jury member and others. So we've announced it yesterday, the startup pitch contest, where any Bitcoin, Lightning, and Noster and relevant project can sign in. And during the few rounds, we will get like 10 finalists who we're going to invite to be part of that final round, which is going to happen live during the industry day of the BTC Prague. Well, the jury member is going to be in person, and all the projects will be able to pitch what they are working on. And hopefully they would be able to get some funding and maybe grow a bit faster than without such a visibility. So I'm really challenging all the Bitcoin and Lightning relevant startups to simply sign in and to give it a try. There's nothing they can lose on it, actually. And in 1 week, the semifinal is going to start, and it's going to be real fun. So we worked on it with GetMesh platform. The voting is going to be publicly accessible by Lightning. It's going to be real fun. Something like this haven't been in the Bitcoin space yet. So but I'm not going to spoil all of this. So just follow the Twitter and you're going to know everything.
Exactly. I just showed the Twitter, and I'm now on the website as well, btcprog.com, startup contest. You can sign up with your startup. So it's only live for 24 hours. Did you already get some first?
Yeah. We have like 10 submissions already. So I believe that most of them going to fill the form during the weekend. On mm-hmm. the Twitter, I see that a lot of people just bookmarked the tweet. So I'm so excited, to be honest. Yeah.
That's an awesome jury as well. Oleg Michalski from Fulgur Ventures. Wow, this is really it's going to be super nice and a great opportunity for all these startups to meet relevant investors.
Yeah, an interesting thing is that that Michal Táborský, he's a friend of us, he's a partner of the Reflex Capital VC, which is Czech-based, technologically focused VC fund. And we were able to orange pill them. That Michael was already into Bitcoin for many years, but they haven't had the opportunity to meet the right Bitcoin project which they should invest in. So we've challenged them to be part of the jury, and I really hope that this is gonna end up that some Bitcoin project gonna be founded by them, and that would mean that we've orange pilled a VC fund, which is a great success.
Exactly, that would be so nice. Imagine, like, so they were a traditional VC that now is also starting to invest in Bitcoin.
Exactly, exactly.
Nice. Yeah, this is happening more and more.
It's a bit great. It's good on the Bitcoin. You know that even in this market situation, and the economical situation which we can see all over the world, the wonderful thing on it is that Bitcoin can grow even these days, you know. Still looking for the interesting people who are willing to contribute in some way, and it grows, and we can see so many new interesting and important projects being started every day. So it's great, and I believe that we can, you know, we can hope for the wonderful future in some day. But this sounds a bit pathetic, but yeah.
No, I totally agree. I mean, it's these times now where the inflation is going crazy, and as people kind of start to understand that central banks and banks are really nothing you should trust, and that the whole financial system is basically a house of cards, this is where Bitcoin is shining, and that's what we are seeing in the Bitcoin price currently. You know, just about to crack 31k now. This is what we as a Bitcoin company also see, is like how many new inflows that we are getting, new users, lots of volume and revenue growing like crazy. So it's really, I think, now starting to get serious with Bitcoin step by step, because people are waking up to the fact that the system that we are living in now is just not sustainable. I was wondering, how is it? How is the situation in Prague? I mean, in Czech Republic, in terms of with the currency, with the inflation. I mean, euro is at already almost 10% inflation. Other European currencies are even worse. What about Czech Republic?
Just one thing. It would be great, Julian, if you can share some numbers which will show what the peak was when the Bitcoin break that 30k level again. If there was some peak in your numbers, I would love to see how it happened. But actually, for me personally, you know, the European Union is a great example of unsustainability, and it simply cannot end up well in some day. It's a house of cards, as you mentioned. And today I read a newspaper topic that the inflation in Czech Republic is getting back to the normal, that it's 15% again. It's not 17, man. So back to the normal, 15%. Yeah, so this is like a nonsense. And I believe that even like the people who didn't understand what the finance market is are feeling it now personally, because 15% inflation means that we are really losing a lot of money. And the financial crisis and the situation with the gas prices and all the belongings are something that the people who are living on the, let's say, lower salary standard are really feeling it in person, and they need to think what they're going to spend their money to be even able to pay all the bills which they need to do on monthly basis. So the situation is not really good. I don't know if it's just the matter of the economical cycles, and we shall be prepared for such a situation, or if this is just some kind of start of the monetary reset, which all the Bitcoiners are talking about, and I don't know if how this is going to end up. But the situation here in the Czech Republic is it's not really good, you know, and mostly the war. which is happening in the Ukraine. It's affecting us a lot. We have adopted a lot of Ukrainians here in the Czech Republic. And even because of our history, we've lived under Russian involvement for 60 years. So we are really feeling that something is happening around in the world. And I believe that people are just scared and do not really understand what is it actually about. And the even worse thing is that they are scared. They don't know why, really. But mostly they do not know what to do by themselves to get rid of these troubles, you know. So the situation is actually pretty strange these days, even here in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm just looking at the inflation rates. Maybe I can show it here as well quickly. Just looking at them now here. Can you see it? So it says the inflation rate was in the last 30 years between 0.1% and 20.8%. That's also quite crazy. So it was 20.8%. So the last high was 1993. But that's where the interest rates, I don't know if it's said here now, but the interest rates obviously was also way higher, probably more than 10% there. And now it then went up and down. It was quite normal for the last, like since 1999, it was all between 0 and 5. So it was quite normal. Well, 6.3% in 2008, but the rest was quite normal until 2021, where this overview ends, which is 3.8%. And now it's at 15. It was even at 17%. Like it's almost
hitting 20, actually.
Almost all-time high. When the interest rates are still close to zero. So this is also something to consider. It's really like things are really going crazy if you look at the price increase of energy and food.
Yeah, and I believe that those numbers are mostly following the euro standard and the dollar standard and actually other currency standard in the whole Europe. So it's pretty common, which is not good at the end of the day. And having an inflation of 15% and such a low interest rates, it's house of the cards. But I don't know. I do not want to sound like a catastrophic horror director or kind of. Yeah, you know, we've heard so many stories like this on the Twitter from many Bitcoiners. So I would just repeat them now.
But it's still something that people need to wake up to. They need to find out and learn about how inflation really affects their well-being, their life, their wealth. I mean, you know, maybe the 72 rule, if you divide 72 by the inflation rate, which you said is 15%, it gives you the number of years it takes to cut your wealth in half, like the purchasing power of your wealth in half. And if you do that for 15%, it's actually 4.8 years. So it doesn't even take 5 years to cut your net worth in half if you keep all your wealth in Czechish krona.
Yes.
So if people see this, then I think you'd rather want to start diversifying in other assets like Bitcoin and gold, maybe real estate, whatever.
But actually, whatever is still better than not hold. Having a cash.
You should definitely hold everything but cash.
So
that was
really this interesting. Is interesting.
Yeah, please. Yeah, some last words.
But this is actually even the reason again why we decided to organize the BTC Prague and why our targets are so high. It's because as I mentioned, I really consider European Union being like the great example of unsustainability, and I think that it won't up well in upcoming years. And whatever the situation is going to be about, I'm pretty sure that it would be much easier to survive any hard days or months with Bitcoin than without it. And that actually explains more of the things I've mentioned, why the base price of the ticket is so low, why we were able to persuade all the companies across the Europe and the speakers, because most of them simply understands and considers this topic being so important to speak about these days.
Absolutely, 100%. Thank you, Martin. It was really great talking to you, and I really appreciate you taking all this time to organize this great conference. I'm looking forward to traveling to Prague again. This time, hopefully, I will remember a bit more. And the last question that all of my guests unfortunately need to answer is, how much of your total wealth in percentage do you own, do you hold in Bitcoin?
Oh, man, I don't like to answer such questions. Most of my wealth is kept in the Bitcoin, I would say. Yeah.
Really? Okay. You're one of the extremists.
I'm the maxi. Yeah. I'm the maxi. And again, awesome. You know, we are facing great, the inflation of almost 20%. So I produce the alcohol by myself. It's like our family tradition for many generations. So I have like almost 150 liters of our homemade plum brandy at my place. So this is my stack, and the others I keep in the Bitcoin mostly, and I invest in my house and in the family a lot actually.
Awesome, that's a very rational and sane financial plan to own some booze, to own a house, and to own Bitcoin. that would be financial advice. Oh. Good on you. Good on you. Martin, I'm really looking forward to see you in Prague. Talk to you soon. Cheers. Bye.